The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
The PRO Act passes in Vermont, but there are exceptions. University of Pennsylvania grad students vote to go union. A big week for the UAW in Alabama. And today on the show, the Union of Southwest Flight Attendants and Operating Engineers Local 825. Welcome to the Monday, May 13th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Lynn Montgomery. Lynn has been the lead negotiator in the contract talks with Southwest Airlines, and these were not easy. We tried to get her on the show a couple of times. You may recall they had a rally some months back to kind of jumpstart those talks. Well, the bottom line is, boy, did they come out as winners. The flight attendants at Southwest ratified a new four-year contract that stipulated a pay raise over that term, 33%. And that raise starts immediately. The flight attendants will get a 22.3% raise, followed by 3% raises in the next 3 years. What does that mean? It means Southwest flight attendants are now the highest paid in the industry, making 14% more than the second best paid in their role, the Delta flight attendants. This is according to the Transport Workers Union. United, Alaska, and American Airlines all are in contract talks as we speak. John Samuelson is the international president of the Transport Workers Union. He says this is a significant victory for flight attendants industry-wise, and the TWU has once again proven that we are an incredibly effective voice for flight attendants. That contract also outlines paid maternal and paternal leave, something TWU notes is an industry first. It also provides health care coverage for a flight attendant looking after a newborn and $364 million in retroactive wages that occurred during those contract talks. Well, Lynn Montgomery has been the lead negotiator in all this. There was a couple times we tried to get her on the show, but she said, Flash, I'm busy right now, and we are making progress. And by the way, that vote to ratify it, 93%. Lynn has been tireless in all of this. She's been a flight attendant since 1992, and she has seen a lot in the last couple of years with the pandemic, demands for pay cuts. We had that operational meltdown. Remember that in December of 2022 when literally tens of thousands of flights were canceled? Why? Because Southwest management didn't update the computer system. They were using a computer system that was 30 years old. They had the grounding of the MAX 8 fleet. I mean, there was a lot. But through it all, and Lynn is going to speak to this because I'll tell you, she is something else. She is a true fighter. And she went on the offensive. She went to the media. And when all was said and done, 5,000 news articles came out on what was going on at Southwest Airlines. And the global audience reach on that, 982 million people, including America's workforce listeners. It's amazing. She is a true fighter, no doubt about that. Chris Lalavi will be joining us later in the show. Now, Chris is a business agent for the operating engineers. This would be Local 825, which services all of New Jersey and New York's Hudson Valley with a workforce of heavy equipment operators. As an accomplished crane operator, Chris spent years in the industry on numerous projects running cranes in various fields and operations. Chris was then brought into a local A25's referral hall where he worked as a dispatcher. And during his time with the union, he developed the IUOE's A25 Member Assistance Program. Now, this is a peer program designed to assist members and their families getting help with issues like substance abuse and misuse, as well as mental health. And right now, he serves as a business agent for the local and maintains and coordinates a very thriving assistance program. This is a huge industry, as you well know, if you've been listening to this show. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I indicated when we started the month of May that we were going to check in with various union leaders and people that work with union leaders to make sure that they get the help they need if they have a problem. If they have a problem, because the rate of suicide in the trades is about 4 to 5 times higher than the general population. And Chris has taken his knowledge of substance abuse, mental illness, and suicide to another level. He does a lot of speaking on this issue, and he'll speak about it right here on America's Workforce. The website for the local is IUOE825.org. Now, a brief look into the world of labor. The segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at boydwatterson.com. The Vermont legislature has passed a bill inspired by the proposed federal Protecting the Right to Organize, or PRO Act, most recently sponsored in the U.S. Senate by Bernie Sanders. Well, the state's version of the bill, called S-102, bans captive audience meetings, does allow card checks for public sector unions, and extends organizing rights to domestic workers excluded from coverage under the National Labor Relations Act. Well, the Vermont House of Representatives passed S-102 last week, which the state Senate had passed last year. Despite the original bill including coverage for agricultural workers who, like domestic workers, were excluded from the NLRA, an amendment to the House version removed them from the bill. Now, interest groups, including the Vermont Dairy Producers Alliance, raised concerns about strikes of agricultural workers disrupting the supply chain. Organizers with Migrant Justice called the inclusion of agriculture workers a basic question of equity, fairness, and justice. The exclusion of domestic and agricultural workers from the federal legislation was the result of a compromise with Southern Democrats who feared labor protections would upset the Jim Crow era political order. Now, at the time, industry groups also made arguments for the exclusion of agricultural workers, which resemble those advanced in Vermont. Now, while agricultural workers are not treated as employees under S-102, the bill does establish the Agricultural Worker Labor and Employment Laws Study Committee. Now, the purpose of that committee is to study state labor and employment laws and how they apply to agricultural workers and identify options for legislative action to increase coverage. Other provisions of the bill, which passed with a veto-proof majority, have received praise from pro-union advocacy groups. You know what? Step in the right direction. Sometimes you just don't get all what you want, but they're moving in the right direction. Let's go to Pennsylvania now. University of Pennsylvania grad students have voted to unionize, 95% in favor of the union. The union called Get Up, an acronym for Graduate Employees Together, University of Pennsylvania. I like that. It's affiliated with, of course, the United Auto Workers, as many student unions are. And this is the third unionization effort at the University of Pennsylvania, but the first to succeed. Some of the topics that are likely to come up include wages, working conditions, and support for international students. And speaking of the UAW, today marks the beginning of the union vote at the Mercedes plant in Vance, Alabama. And from all indications, it looks like it'll probably go union. A lot of the polls indicate that about 70% of the members there are in favor of going union. That vote should wrap up by this Friday. The United Steelworkers Union have announced a tentative agreement on a first contract between University of Pittsburgh faculty and the university's administration. That deal, which would run through June of 2026, includes historic language on wages and job security for both full and part-time workers. The more than 3,000 Pitt faculty voted organized with the USW in the fall of 2021. Comment here from Tyler Bickford, a professor in the English department who served on the bargaining committee. Tyler said, "We unionized nearly 3 years ago so that we could have a voice in the decision-making process and increase transparency. Well, we remained united through the talks, and our perseverance paid off with a very strong contract that will help us now and provide a firm foundation on which we can grow in the future. That contract provides greater security for faculty, which will result in better educational outcomes for students," according to various sources. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Lynn Montgomery talking about the Union of Southwest Flight Attendants and the big contract they just reached. Back in a few.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google, and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, and exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel. For more information. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, labor's trusted health partner, bringing people, communities, and care together to transform the future of health. For more information, please visit anthem.com/labor and trust. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. You could Find more at ulagency.org. Let's go to line number one. And joining us from just outside Dallas, Texas today is Lynn Montgomery. And I'll tell you, this woman is a true fighter. And Lynn, you know what I was thinking before I joined you here on the show, that next March I'd like to feature you on Women's History Month, because you have certainly made history in organized labor. There's no question about that. And to those listening right now, Lynn took over the Union of Flight Attendants, and that's part of the Transport Workers Union. That's TWU556.org. She became president in May of 2018, and she, throughout that time, tried her damn bestest, if there's such a term, to get a decent contract for her members, and that she did. And as a result, she's no longer president because it wore her out. Lynn Montgomery, welcome back to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us. And I was mentioning at the top of the show, so many times we wanted to get you on the show, but you couldn't because you were wrapped up in those contract talks. I know you were working hard, and my gosh, I guess it all paid off. So welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us. Tell me and our listeners what you, Lynn Montgomery, were able to accomplish. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, everything I was able to accomplish was really about the strength of the members, right? Because unions are about power in numbers, and our flight attendants really came together and really said, no, 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 we are willing to fight for this. No, we're willing to fight a little bit more for this. And in the end, we ultimately got a contract that gave us a 22.325% snap up starting at May 1. We got 364 million paid in a bonus as back pay. We were able to get rid of a 24-hour call system that's really been fatiguing flight attendants. We now have a three-tier shifted reserve system with five different shifts, one that's going to be 12 hours and others that are going to be 8 hours, so that you have somewhere to get to as you get more senior. Really rich contract that's going to help with those regular operations. You know, Ed, you and I have talked about the meltdowns that Southwest has gone through. We're actually going to get some pay elements involved when that happens to us. We're getting, for the first time ever in any national U.S. airline, flight attendants are going to be paid for maternity and parental leave with no loss of health care benefits. So that is going to be huge for the families out there. And we also have received two additional paid holidays. Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day will be added to our other double-time holiday days. So that's just a little bit of some of the things that the flight attendants are getting the benefit of because of their fight.
Now, Lynn, this started, my gosh, what was it, 6 years ago, almost 6 years ago when you started negotiating. When did you realize you're finally, you know, going to make it to the finish line here? Because there had to be times that you were saying, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on here. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get what our members want and all this, because there's got to be some frustrating times throughout all of this. But obviously something happened here. Something snapped. Can you speak to that?
Well, really, I think that it just had to, the process worked the way it should work. We did have a tentative agreement back in October that the flight attendants voted on in December, and it also was an industry-leading deal with 20% pay increase. And the flight attendants said, you know, we're gonna stick together, and we're gonna say we still need more. We still need to see more of the enhancements for the irregular operations. And the company just realized they were going to have to give in to the flight attendants. They were going to have to deliver. They were going to have to make it right, which was our slogan. And that really was the element that pushed it forward. We had a SAV vote, a strike authorization vote, for the first time in our history, and the flight attendants said that they would indeed strike if we were able to. So we were willing to go the entire distance. And then I think for the team that I worked with, the negotiating committee, the five of us, we really, after that failed agreement, we had to get up and say, what can we do immediately without going back and, you know, saying, oh, well, this is terrible. We were put on ice by the National Mediation Board. We had to convince the National Mediation Board that we could get to a deal. We had to tell the company, we've got to get back to the table. Otherwise, we would have been looking at a year or more before we would have even gotten back to probably talking again.
Okay, Lynn, so what was the ratification vote when all was said and done here?
So 92% eligible voters, 81% voted yes to ratify the agreement, which is pretty close to obtaining labor peace, which is really what we needed at Southwest Airlines with all the changes and everything the flight attendants had been through. You know, a few years ago when Gary Kelly was the CEO, I sat down with him and talked to him about the contract and why we weren't getting to where we needed to be. Because if there was a lot of resistance from Southwest Airlines, a lot of, oh, this is a great place to work. They weren't realizing that the flight attendants were really overworked, tired, and exhausted. And I said to him, we can't just have a 51% ratification deal. We've got to have the deal that says Southwest believes in its flight attendants again, and that's got to be, you know, 70% or above. So getting 81% was really good and made us all very happy.
And this is a 4-year contract. Was it always supposed to be a 4-year contract? Just wondering about that.
Well, you know, the length of contract is negotiable. The TA that we had previously was a 5-year deal, and we wanted to do 4 years. We can actually reopen again in a year before the contract's amendable term. And that's going to be very, very good. Hopefully will help with this protracted negotiations, because one of the issues with this negotiations, obviously, was that it was so long. And when you have a really lengthy negotiations like that, you're always chasing the back pay and you're always chasing the changes that happen. You really can't have lengthy negotiations. And corporations need to understand that lengthy negotiations are not good for anybody.
No. You know, the other part of this conversation is work-life balance. I'm hearing a lot of that from union leaders throughout the spectrum here. And I was reading earlier about, this was an industry first, about paid maternal and paternal leave, also health care coverage for a flight attendant looking after a newborn. Was that difficult to accomplish in this contract, Lynn, in your opinion?
Yes, it was. In fact, at the beginning of negotiations, the opening statement that I delivered talked about flight attendants and their quality of life and how when they were at work, the basics were not being met. Your food, shelter, you know, issues with hotels, issues getting food, issues getting transportation. And those elements were very difficult, one, to get the company to understand these were issues. It really took COVID for people to see that, the company to see that, no, truly this was an issue before. Now it's highlighted it. It's made it even worse. COVID didn't create these issues. They existed in 2019. They existed in 2018. And it took that for the company to say, oh, maybe this is a problem. And that's when we started to see some changes in the negotiations. But it really wasn't until we did the pickets and until we stood strong and until we voted down an agreement and voted to strike that the company said, oh, okay, we're really going to have to deliver.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, these people are serious if they want to do that. I get it. You mentioned, too, about the operational meltdown. And let me ask you this. Have they ever fixed the outdated computer system over at Southwest? Because I know it was like 30 years old or something like that. Has that been upgraded at all?
So, you know, you and I talked about this on one of your shows not long ago, and I had really pressed for the company to change its technology, and they have. In fact, when I was at the table, one of the things that I said was that we will not accept that you cannot implement these changes just because of technology. We want to see how you're doing it, what method you're doing it, in what way you're doing it, how long it's going to take. And that's what we're doing right now. We're actually sitting down with the director of technology, of in-flight technology, and going through what it's going to take to get these elements in the contract delivered. And actually, we've been really successful just recently in getting some of the pay elements that they said were going to be difficult to implement in technology to get them delivered right away, May 1. So that's been kind of an extension of negotiations is implementing. And so we've been successful in getting those like if you're late now, you have a last day late pay. There's another pay for extended ground time if you have a certain amount of ground time. And we also have a duty day pay. If you go over your 12-hour duty day, you are now going to be paid double time on top of your rig, which means you're actually going to see that money. It's not going to get absorbed by another pay element. So those things are really great things that are going to happen, and we've been able to push those timeframes up in working with the company recently.
We're speaking with Lynn Montgomery. Lynn is with the Transport Workers Union 556, the Union of Flight Attendants. She became president in May and decided to step down after she reached an incredible deal with her members here, a four-year contract making them the highest paid flight attendants in the industry. We'll continue with Lynn right after this. Later in the show, Chris Lalavie will be joining us on behalf of the operating engineers, Local 825. You know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and he's going to speak to that and more. Back in a few minutes. You're listening to America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 iron worker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, the Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great iron worker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Founded in 1887, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters represents the employees responsible for tirelessly constructing and maintaining the national rail system in America. For more than a century, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees has proven they have what it takes to protect its members and meet the ever-changing challenges of the rail industry. Today, the BMWED continues to fight for job security, fair wages, better benefits, and safer, more modern work environments. For more information, please visit BMWE.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at USW.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at CWA-Union.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on at least 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always appreciate those 5-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. Let's go back down to Texas, just outside Dallas. Joining us on our live line today is Lynn Montgomery of the Transport Workers Union, the Union of Southwest Flight Attendants. Do check out their website, TWU556.org is a website. And we're talking to Lynn about the industry-leading contract for the flight attendants at Southwest, a 4-year deal making them the highest-paid flight attendants in the industry. But this was not easy to accomplish. Lynn, if you don't mind, I want to talk about what you went through. And you kind of touched on that. in the first segment here, but I want to do a little more in-depth because we got a lot of listeners to America's Workforce that are either starting a union or they want to grow their union. And what you did, you created what I'm reading here, the Reschedule Research and Analysis Committee, which was a data-driven approach to secure significant improvements in the daily work lives of flight attendants. Can you speak to that? Can you explain to our listeners what you created, how you created, and how it worked for the membership? Go ahead.
Yeah, so this committee was created to establish data. Data that's going to help us use evidence at the table and also to convince the company that we need changes in our work lives. And it actually has worked out to be a incredible committee that's actually returned about $500,000 of pay loss back to flight attendants. We discovered through the process after the meltdown, there was a lot of pay discrepancies, and the Research Reschedule and Analysis Committee took that on and began to look at where people were missing pay and actually returned that money. They're going to continue to do those things. You know, we have a very complicated way of getting paid, and we discovered through that committee that there were mistakes being made. The other intention is that we can look at, by using data, how flight attendants get rescheduled, when they get rescheduled, why they get rescheduled. Could they be scheduled in a different way that would be more effective and more beneficial, you know, to the flight attendant as well as the operation, and take that evidence and that data forward to the company and stop using anecdotal evidence, right? Stop saying, well, this happened to this person. Statistics, evidence showing the number of times it happens, when it happens, because when you're working with a really big company, that's the way that you elicit change. You have to show them, you need to present to them the graphs and really have your ducks in a row in order to elicit those changes. And we use the same type of approach at the table. We used a very evidentiary approach. We were subject matter experts on the items that we knew. We were subject matter experts on the contract because not only had we worked under the contract, got paid under the contract because we're flight attendants ourselves, but we also had worked previously in grievances. We had written some of the contracts. We knew the history of where certain settlement letters that were being incorporated came from, and we really were able to outmatch the company's knowledge at the table. And that's what I want the local to continue to do to get those work-life improvements.
So how long did it take you to collect all this data? This is a two-part question. How long it took you? Then you took it to the bargaining table, and what was their reaction? That had to be interesting.
Well, throughout the negotiations, throughout the 6 years, it didn't all happen at once. We were doing it in pieces and doing it as different items came up. And a lot of times we have to get the data from the company. And that's one of the elements we got in the contract, that we would get information from the company so that we can work more collaboratively. You know, once you get a contract, it's not like getting a new car. You can't just walk away from the salesman and be like, hey, I got a great deal. You have to continue to work together to continue to get those things implemented and make changes where you can. And so working together that way, we were able to eventually get the committee that would continue the work that we had started.
I gotcha. So that's interesting. So you got the data from Southwest. I mean, you had to get it from Southwest, and then you kind of used it against them in a way. So it's interesting. I have to salute you on that. So, I mean, when you came forth with that data, I mean, how did they react to it? Did they realize what was going on in the industry? I'm kind of curious about that.
So they have the data and they're able to look at things differently. Sometimes we would ask for things and they would say, well, we don't have a report for that. And they would actually learn through our processes, you know, maybe we should be running a report like this. Maybe we should be getting this information. And there's really a long way to go when it comes to flight attendants and rescheduling. We have a scheduling committee that builds the lines and the pairings, basically the schedule for the flight attendant. And that's a joint committee. It's flight attendants from the union and also the company that work on that committee. And we definitely want to use the resources of that committee to make better schedules. We got some language in this contract that's going to allow for collaboration so that we can have more input in, you know, from the flight attendant angle. A lot of times you don't get the human element in the way that lines are generated because computers do that. We want to add that human element back into it and actually make better working lives, working days.
You did your homework and it paid off. The other part of this too, and I remember talking to you about that big rally some months back in Denver. You are definitely a media guru. You found your, you made sure things happened and that the message was getting out beyond America's workforce. I see Wall Street Journal, CNN picked it up. That is obviously something that all unions have to embrace to get that message out. And did you expect, I was reading earlier, 5,000 news articles reaching a global audience of 982 million. Did you expect this to explode like that, Lynn?
No, I didn't. And as you know, the media is it's a constant work and you really need to be available. So that's a 24/7. You know, we didn't have the voice that we needed to have previously. People needed to realize that the nation's largest airline, which is Southwest Airlines, has a flight attendant union and we have unique needs, maybe different from other flight attendants. And we needed to make sure that we were a voice in the industry. And now we really are a voice in the industry because of that work.
Well, you did it all, Lynn, and I know this took a toll on you. Is that why you decided not to remain as president of the union? I mean, was this your goal here? I'm going to be president. I'm going to get this contract. And then I see now that you're going to stay on the TWU executive board. Was that pretty much the game plan?
So for me, you know, with everything that's happened during my tenure, COVID and the assault on flight attendants and being lead negotiator, negotiating a contract. And then of course the meltdown. And as you know, that was not the only meltdown. That was just the meltdown of all meltdowns. Anybody, I know a lot of your listeners are union advocates and they know how much work it is. It's 24/7. So my husband really wanted his wife back. So I'm going to give him some time as he's given to me. And I know your union listeners out there know that it's a sacrifice on a family. And it's been a love. It's been an honor. But I think a break is in order for me now that the contract is delivered. And our new president is going to do a really wonderful job. Looking forward to his leadership, President Bill Bernal, and really excited to see what what's going to come next.
Well, you know you have a voice here on America's Workforce, so I know you want to pass the baton here. You did that. You make sure that individual contacts our producer here and keeps this conversation going. Like you said, you know, when you get that new car, there's other things you got to deal with down the road, and those things are going to come up. Lynn, it's been a pleasure having you on here as president, now former president. TWU556.org is the website, the Union of Southwest Flight Attendants. You take care. Stay safe, stay strong, and stay in touch, okay?
Thank you. I will do.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Coming up next, Chris Lalavie, on behalf of the Operating Engineers Local 825, will be joining us back in a few.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Are you looking for a new healthcare partner for your union members? Let Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield be your champion, making sure your members live their healthiest lives. Now more than ever, it's important to have a partner you can trust, one who understands the unique challenges unions face. Anthem provides a variety of options to meet your organization's needs and helps you control costs without sacrificing quality of care. For more information, visit anthem.com/labor and trust. This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craftworkers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go to line number two and welcome to the show, Chris Lalavi. Chris is the business agent and coordinator of their member assistance program at the Operating Engineers Local 825 website, IUOE825.org. And 825 services all of New Jersey and New York's Hudson Valley. That's a chunk of territory there. Very union-friendly territory, I might add. Chris, welcome to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us today. A little background on yourself first. I know you want to talk about the member assistance program, but fill me in. How many members at 825? How long have you been involved in the union? It's all yours, brother. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, man. I've been involved in the union since I'm 18. I was out in the field as a crane operator, pretty much multiple cranes, whatever it was. I was hired into the union hall directly in 2012, and I worked in our what's called our referral hall. And from there, about 4 years ago, I became a business agent. So that put me on the outside, and I handle an area called Hudson County, which is directly across the river from New York City.
How many members in 825?
We're just south of 8,000. We're like 7,800.
Ooh, nice. Real good.
Yeah.
Is that number?
Yeah, New Jersey's
a
real densely populated, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think New Jersey, we got about 9 million here, you know? But, almost 8,000 members, yep.
How's the work going for you?
The work's going good. I mean, you know, we do everything from heavy highway infrastructure. You know, there's a lot of replacement on things like water lines, sewer lines, because there's so much building. So we're upgrading the infrastructure. You know, there's a good amount of building. Right now, it's kind of sitting at a halt. The interest rates are a little high. I think developers are kind of holding back. But then you have the highways with blacktop and bridge repairs. So, you know, we have the Hudson Tunnel, which is like one of the biggest jobs in the nation right now, just getting kicked off. So we're moving.
So still it's probably a good opportunity for members to join 825 despite the high interest rates. Those things will change down the road, but you could probably use some new members then.
Yeah, we actually just took in, I think it was 40 apprentices. So they're getting spun up down at our training school. So we take as needed, depending on, you know, call for work and retirements and things of that nature. But, you know, it's always good to check out our website and see when we're looking.
All right, let's switch gears here because I know you came to the table today to talk about the member assistance program, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month. It's important we get the message out here. And a lot of members are hurting, and I've said this, and I'll say it again, that when it comes to the trades, the suicide rate is four, maybe five times higher than the general population. So how are we faring with the operating engineers? I know you could speak to your local here, but is that pretty much the case across the board when it comes to with the trades here as far as the issues, the mental health issues, and possibly contemplating suicide? In your opinion, what do you think?
You know, when you look at the numbers, it's like a 4-to-1 ratio. And, you know, when you start looking at construction and you start looking at construction deaths, you're looking at like 1,100 a year due to workplace injury, and you're looking at over 5,500 a year due to suicide. You know, there's been a lot of work that's being done in this space in the past bunch of years. Some really decent people started putting some things together, raising some awareness, and I was happy to join in with some of the, you know, a lot of those people. You also, when you look at construction, you know, construction leads the industry in overdose deaths. So, you know, it's a very, very scary statistic, but not a statistic I don't think that with some education and some, you know, bringing light to it, that maybe we could start to change.
Well, talk to me about your, and we're talking 825, local 825's member assistance program, because I know you had a hand in developing it. So can you give us some specifics on it?
Sure. So it's, you know, it's a peer-based program. I basically coordinate it, put out, you know, information, things of that nature, but there's other peers, whether they may be other business agents, possibly trainers, rank and file people that are out in the field working for various companies. You know, in 2017, I noticed myself helping people maybe a little bit more than the normal person should. But I also noticed people entrusting in me. I was working in our referral hall, and people were having problems, whether that problem be a divorce, you know, somebody's ill parent, and they're moving in and they needed time off. And, you know, we're moving and grooving, and we're trying to get people out to work. And that was my job to fill the work need. But you also have to be sensitive to what somebody's going through, whether that may be a struggle with addiction or, you know, something going on with their mental health. So within talking to people, it just kind of developed. And I met another fella out of local 478, Connecticut, one of our neighbors. His name's Kyle Zimmer, and he was doing the same. And, you know, he and I kind of joined forces, and Kyle was in the middle of developing a program for the entire IUOE. And, yeah, we had a bunch of discussions. You know, before you know it, I'm helping them train, and actually in 2 weeks we'll be down at our International Training Center in Texas, teaching more people, you know, resources, how to go about listening to people, you know, things to look for, teaching them about things like 988, which I don't think a lot of people really grasp the concept of it and what it is and how it can help. You know, from that to, you know, shifting over to addiction and getting help and getting Narcan on construction sites and things like that. So, you know, we're kind of all over the place, but we have it condensed into a very good program of 3 days of awareness. And we talk about everything from mental health, suicide, addiction, of course, touch on veterans in the construction industry. We love our veterans. So we do see a decent amount of PTSD. And, you know, by developing a program, you know, with boots on the ground people, somebody like myself that's been in the industry for a while, I've been out in the field, and other people that are out in the field, getting people aware to, you know, notice, number one, notice that there's an issue. And the second part is being approachable. And then on top of being approachable, being able to listen. So when you have all these things together and you're able to work together, you don't really have to know a lot. I've done some extensive training and done some extensive schooling. It's a passion project for me. But really, at the end of the day, if you're aware to the situation, you can, you know, reach out to somebody who knows a little bit more. At least you're aware and you say, hey, I don't think this person's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, you start the process. And then as the process goes, it may be just talking to somebody. It may be somebody really needs a therapist, a marriage counselor. You know, we have great benefits. Our business manager constantly going over our benefits and things of that nature. So, because we're such a broad area in New Jersey is not the biggest state, but it could take you 5 hours to get across with our traffic. We could start to pinpoint specific counselors that you may need, doctors that you may need, get that to you in email. If you need a recovery place, we have really great recovery places that are all within our network. So the copay is very, very small. They've proven to work. With myself, I've audited them. I know they have all the right things that you need to get better. So we just keep doing a little bit more and a little bit more. And the most important thing is it's 100% confidential. You know, nobody needs to know your business. So when you come to a peer, and that may be a mental health condition, that may be an addiction issue, you know, nobody needs to know your business. We'll take care of it. When you're ready to get back to work and you're feeling better, we're going to get you back to work and where you need to be.
How long has this program been in effect here, Chris?
2017, I kind of started it, kind of grassroots. And then 2019, it became something real. That's where I met Kyle. Our international put, I wasn't there, but there was a convention and our international put some language together that passed it that allowed Kyle to, you know, start doing this. And it was interesting. Our business manager was out there. He called me up, I guess, right after Kyle's presentation. And he said, he knew what I was doing, but it, you know, was what it was. And he's busy enough, but he said, your phone's going to ring in about 20 minutes. A guy by the name of Kyle Zimmer. He says, make sure you pick it up. I think you're going to be interested to talk to him. So, that's kind of where it went. And, you know, through Kyle, Kyle sits on all sorts of boards, you know, NIOSH and things like that, and really starts to look at, you know, things that need to be done and need to be addressed. And I got to give it to him because he and I are like two peas in a pod. We don't shut up. So like when we believe in something, we're going to go after it. We're going to keep talking. And when somebody tells us, you know, that's not going to happen, we're just going to talk louder, you know?
Yeah.
And it's what you have to do. It's not the best subject in the world. And no, we don't want to be sitting here talking about it, but we don't want to stick our heads in the sand like ostriches either.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I hear you.
You know, when you look at the numbers, and you know, that's me in construction, and you know, for all the people out there that listen to this, you may be a UAW guy in a factory. I know I've got a good friend that does a podcast with the UAW, and I've been on his podcast a few times, and you know, he was at something recently and I happened to see his Twitter, and you know, they had a whole bunch of 988 information out there, and I just think it's great that people are saying, you know what, let's put it out there. Let's make people aware of it because it's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good to know that, you got a couple of years under your belt and it's always being tweaked. There's always something new that comes to the table, and it's great that you've put a lot of effort into it and then you're taking it to the national stage too. So it's so important. On that being said, please keep in touch with us because we're really serious. This is a serious discussion, let's be honest, and it's an uncomfortable one at times, but we want to stay on it here because we got a lot of trades and our union brothers and sisters with the crazy things going on in the world today, there's a lot of issues out there and there's a lot of people that have a very difficult time confronting those issues. So please stay in touch. I'm going to drive everybody to the website, IUOE825.org. Chris Lullaby joining us. He's a business agent and also the coordinator for their member assistance program. You take care, my brother. Stay safe and stay in touch, okay?
Thank you so much, and I'm happy to talk to anybody. If they want to email me directly or anything like that, they can find me through our website, and I'd be happy to talk to them about possibly setting something up within their work area.
You got it. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the Communication Workers of America and John Nichols of The Nation magazine. Until then, all of you, have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.